Australian True Crime. The live show is coming.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The producers of this podcast recognize the traditional owners of the land on which it's recorded. They pay respect to the Aboriginal elders past, present, and those emerging.
The following podcast contains content of a graphic, violent nature and is not suitable for children.
We believe you murdered Liesl. Okay.
No man in the world.
Right. We believe that her remains are located in the Hunter, and we want to know where she is.
I haven't murdered anyone. I don't know where she is. I certainly don't own a gun. I've never murdered anyone.
I'm not saying you shot her.
You asked me before, did I own a gun?
Yeah, but we're not saying you shot her.
Sandy Harvey hasn't seen her daughter Liesl since 2012. At that time, Liesl was 23 years old. She was happy and healthy and working in her dream job, caring for horses. But it was horses that brought her into contact with James Church, a much older man with whom she fell in love. After her disappearance, Sandy discovered Liesl's relationship with Church was one of cruelty and heartache. For one thing, Liesl wasn't the only woman he was seeing, and she knew it. 10 years after Liesl's disappearance, Sandy and the rest of her family thought they might finally be on the verge of some kind of breakthrough. But James Church had one more cruel twist up his sleeve.
So there's Louise, Geraldine, Frances, Liesl, then Grace and Ethan.
Right. So she was one of the little kids, we would have called her, in our family.
Yes.
We had the big kids and the little kids.
The second half.
Tell us about Liesl then. What sort of kid was she?
A very individual child. She lived in her own world. I think she was more like me than any of them because she was an animal lover. And as long as she knew where she was and what she was doing, then that was okay. It didn't matter if nobody else knew where she was or what she was doing. For example, one time she got off the bus and went into some people's backyard to play with the puppies. I went maximum stress, right, back to the school. No, she's not here. Ring the bus company. No. Oh, my God, where is she? I got home and the school bag was on the back veranda and I thought, oh, okay, she's around here somewhere. I'm looking, couldn't find her and I'm thinking, when do I ring the police, you know? But next minute she turns up and I said, sweetheart, where have you been? Trying to stay calm.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, I was up planting with the puppies. And I said, what puppies, sweetheart? She said, oh, you know those puppies up there on the corner? She said, didn't you see me? I said, sweetheart, I know you think mummy's superwoman, but I haven't got x-ray vision. I can't see through a panel fence.
Yeah.
But she knew she was all right.
Yeah. Okay. So she didn't, like, fight the other kids out of the way for your attention. She just kind of did her own thing.
Yeah. She was just very individual, very different from the other kids. She loved the water as well. I live near a property, an area that's got, like, a little pond in it, and there were eels in the pond. And she came racing home one day. Mum, I need the pool net. I need the pool net. I said, what for? I caught something. Oh, okay. Goes and gets the pool net, races down to the pond, grabs this eel, brings it. Look what I got, Mum. And it's slimy and it's stuff just, you know, the jelly stuff just sloughing off this eel. I'm saying, oh, God, go and put it back, go and put it back. But, Mum, look, it's so exciting. Oh, just, you know, blech. She didn't really have a lot of friends. She was very, like I said, she was very individual on her own. But that didn't seem to faze her either. I mean, the kids liked her and everything, but she just, because she was just living on a different planet to everybody else. Let's just say that. It's a bit like the Matrix, you know, like everybody else is here and she's sort of just a little bit further away from all of them. Much preferred the company of animals. She's a bit of a horse whisperer as well. So lots of locals used to, if they couldn't get their horses, they'd come and get her and she'd walk into the paddock and the horse would basically just walk up to her to say hi and they'd go, I don't know how you do that. But
oh, how lovely. Yeah.
She had horses of her own as well. So before she went missing, she actually, her horse Molly was in foal. She'd miscarried. Basically, a couple of foals previously. And so she was really, really looking forward to the birth of this foal. And so when she went missing, people just went, what? And especially horse people, you know, they said, no. She wouldn't have gone off on her own because the birth of this foal meant so much to her. And she told lots of people that it, you know, was really something that she really was looking forward to. So. And that's why people sort of ask the question, no, there's no way that she would have gone off by herself.
So what else was going on in her life? So she'd finished school a few years earlier. Did she go to year 12 or did she leave early?
No, she left early. She actually went and did a horse course. She was living with her dad. She was working, you know, the people who put up the signs for roadworks and things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she was like a stop and go or put out the cones or whatever has to be done, you know.
Yeah.
As she, when she got older, she had a lot more friends. She, because she was out working and male and female friends she had, you know, and if they didn't have horses then they had dogs, so she was into the, all that stuff as well.
The circle of friends, were they into partying at all? Were they using drugs?
No, it was just hanging out stuff, you know. Okay. It'd be knock on the door, hi, how you doing? Oh, let's have a drink or a coffee or whatever. She wasn't much of a party. She sort of basically wore jeans and a shirt and a hat and that was her, you know.
Any boyfriends or girlfriends?
Well, the guy that she was with who allegedly abducted and allegedly murdered her, that was her boyfriend at the time.
Was he her age? That's James Scott Church.
He was a lot older. He was a lot older. He easy 20 years on her. And he was actually seeing another woman who he said that this other woman was the love of his life and no, he was monogamous with her and all this sort of thing. And in actual fact, he was out messing around with not just my daughter but a couple of other people as well. So, and kept it all under wraps so that this other woman wouldn't find out.
What was Liesl's understanding of their relationship?
She knew about this other woman, but that was fine by her. She didn't care. And so they wouldn't meet at his house. They would meet somewhere else out in the bush or at a campground or something, you know.
How did she know him? Where did she meet this guy?
Because he lived down the road from her and he was a farrier.
Just remind me again what exactly, I know that's a horsey thing?
Like a blacksmith, he used horses.
Okay, okay.
Yep. And because she had horses and she needed a farrier, they sort of met and got together and, yeah.
Did you know about the relationship at the time?
No, I didn't. When we were in court, he said, oh, no, we were keeping it a secret. And yet she was telling everybody that she was having a relationship with him and that she was pregnant to him, which she wasn't, but he didn't tell anybody because he didn't want this other woman that he was madly in love with, so supposedly, to know.
So when Liesl went missing, what was the first that you knew of that?
I didn't find out until quite a few weeks later. I was actually in the same street that the police station was in. I'd actually taken one of my daughters and her partner to Centrelink, and I was in the street and I saw him in my side mirror. My ex, he'd come out of the police station, was walking up towards my car and shoved his head in the driver's window and said, are you aware that Liesl's missing? And I went, what are you talking about? That's when I found out, and that was about 3 weeks.
So her father was aware that she was missing?
Yeah, but he just didn't tell me. He had gone round to all her friends' places and said, have you seen her? Have you seen her? No, we haven't seen her for a couple of days. No, we haven't heard from her. And she had lots of messages sent to her phone, which was no answer. But that was the first I knew. It was like probably the next day or about that when the detectives turned up and they actually said, we have him in the police station at this moment.
James Church. So you've found out in the street from your ex that your daughter has been missing for weeks, which is just unbelievable. I can't imagine that 24 hours. And then because the following day the detectives finally arrive at your house and say, yep, look, not only is she officially a missing person, but we have a man at the station, James Church, and you have known of him. Do they disclose to you at that point that they've been in a relationship, it's gone sour? Like, how much do they tell you that day?
No, they didn't tell me. They just said that they knew that her and he had been in a relationship. I thought she was just, you know, had gone off somewhere and hadn't told anybody, and then when they found the car, they got hold of the security camera.
Oh God!
A video
from the train station.
And saw her getting out of her car and getting into his car and driving off. And so they showed that to me and said, this is why we think it was him. They initially called him in or got him in there because they knew that through my ex, he told them that she was hanging out with this guy all the time. So they said, well, look, you know, when did you see her last? And he denied seeing her. And then when they got the video back into the police station, well, look, she's getting into your car. Why is that happening? And then a whole new story.
Did she tell you why she wanted you to pick her up from
to give her, the railway give her a station? Lift.
Yeah, yeah, but did she say why she needed a lift?
No, she's just been a pain in the ass.
So he's changed his story within the first couple of days that they've known about him. He's had to change his story a couple of times already.
Yeah.
We believe you murdered Liesl, okay?
In the world.
Right? We believe that her remains are located in the Hunter, and we want to know where she is.
I haven't murdered anyone. I don't know where she is. I certainly don't own a gun. I've never murdered anyone.
I want to say you shot her.
You asked me before, did I own a gun?
Yeah, but we're not saying you shot her.
Like he said that he had actually dropped her in Wyong and driven up the Pacific Highway and gone home and then went to his girlfriend's place, and they said, well, if you went to your girlfriend's place, why was she ringing your mobile phone, which was turned off at the time, and she rang your house phone? If you were with her, why would she do that? And he said, oh, that's right, no, there was a break-in at my other house up at Clarence Town, and so I went up there and I rang her the next morning and said, you know, there was no reception, which was a lie because they know that he turned his mobile phone back on at about 1 o'clock in the morning. I learnt a lot, not just about the towers but about in-car cameras for the police.
Yeah.
And then they said, okay, well, you know, you couldn't have gone home that way. So, oh, well, I dropped you in town and then I went home via Huihui Road. And they said, oh, so that's how you did it. Yeah, okay. Well, there was an accident under the bridge of Sparks Road, and the police car that was there at the accident still had his car camera going and actually got this guy's car, Church's car, driving past at a particular time. And they said, oh, so you went down Huihui Road. You've changed your story from Pacific Highway to Huihui Road. Yep, yep, that's how it was. Well, how come we've got you at Sparks Road? Oh, well, I came off Sparks Road and headed north. And they said, but you can't do that because the accident was actually under the bridge and you can't do that.
They've recorded your vehicle, CGE 48U, travelling southbound on the Golden Highway. How do you explain this?
I can't, can I? Sure you got the right number plate because...
I'm sure I've got the right number plate.
So given all of this, why did they... I don't know if you can answer this question. Why did they not charge him then? What was lacking? Why did it take 10 years for this same man to be charged in relation to Liesl's disappearance? Because so she is still technically a missing person.
Yes, she is. I honestly couldn't tell you, but okay. They needed to get lots of evidence.
Did she tell anyone else that she was going to meet him there?
No, she didn't tell anybody anything. He apparently rang her in the morning, and my ex said when he was giving evidence that she had actually gone out, cleaned up the stables, sorted out the yard, cleaned up her room, got dressed nicely, and went out and said, I'll be back at 5 o'clock to feed the animals. And that was unusual for her to do that. And we think what the scenario was, because he originally said that she kept hassling him to come and meet her, and in actual fact the police had the phone records, and it proved that he rang her, and they said that they think that he arranged to meet her at Tuggerah Station because she wanted to move out from where she was living with her father, and he had a couple of properties. And so we think what he's done is said, look, bring your car to Tuggerah Station. He won't find it. You come with me and I'll take you up and show you the new house that I've just set up for you. And she's gotten into his car and gone, and that was it.
What you do know is that she had been telling him that she was having his baby. So perhaps, I suppose it's not, doesn't seem like too much of a stretch to think that perhaps he's phoned her and said, okay, you know, that maybe she's been saying, I'm having your baby, I'm pregnant, and you need to set me and the baby up in with a place to live.
Yeah.
From her perspective, she thinks, oh, great, he's finally agreed. He's rung and said, all right, meet me at Tuggerah Station and we'll do something. I'll take you and show you a house or something.
Yeah. And I think it was also the possibility that she was a threat to his relationship with this other woman, because she did eventually contact this other woman and let her know.
Oh, she had done that already. Fuck, how did that go?
Not well.
No.
Not well. And, of course, she then spoke to Church about the fact that Liesl had contacted her and said she was pregnant and everything. And his reaction was, oh, you know, you've got to be kidding, that lying little bitch, you know. And he said, oh, look at her, she's only a kid and who'd have her anyway, you know, like just
denied.
Said some terrible things about my daughter. Yeah, yeah. His car was caught on the speed cameras for the trucks. Well, apparently it'll take your number plate anyway and discard it after a while, you know, if you're not a truck. And they caught him at Sandy Hollow and at Murraywar 2 days before, on the 17th, which was a Friday, and then again on the Sunday. And he reckons he went up to visit his mate. This is the next story. Went up to visit his mate and went and had lunch with them, and then on Sunday went and had dinner and everything. But then later on, when they put the listening device into the place where his mate was staying up at Nelson Bay, Church said to his mate, look, couldn't you just say that, yeah, you were up here on holidays, but you came back because you knew I was coming up? But then when it came to court, he said, oh, yes, I drove up there on the Friday and sat outside the locked gate for 4 hours or something, and then went up again on Sunday and sat outside the locked gate at 6 o'clock at night for another 6 hours. And the judge said, but weren't you cold? Because she said, this is August we're talking about, and here's the forecast for that day. So she had everything.
Oh, they're unreal, yeah. So what you're saying is that on the Friday he drove up the highway to a very sort of remote area.
Yeah.
On the Sunday is when Liesl got in his car and disappeared, and also on the Sunday he can be traced driving up the highway to that same remote area and staying there for 6 hours.
That's exactly right. And when he told his sister that they had this evidence, she said, oh, didn't you lend your car to someone that day? In court he said, I've never asked anybody to lie, but he did say to his parents, because his parents said, look, you know, we've told the police that we were at your place and now you're saying that they've got you on camera going up to Merriwar. Mm. Are you kidding? Like, you know, how do we look? And he said, it's all right, Mum, you just stick to your story, you'll be right. So, no, he didn't say, please lie for me, but he just kept saying, can you do this and can you do this? And
how do you know those conversations took place? Were they caught
on listening devices?
On listening devices, okay. Yep. So none of them came forward and admitted that, but they're on listening devices.
Yeah. We sort of thought about the fact that he may have gone up there on the Friday and sussed out a place and then took her up there on the Sunday and did whatever he did.
Obviously that spot has been scoured by police.
Well, it's basically they're not sure where to look. There's properties have been dug up. Anything that he owned has been dug up. His parents' place at Kangiangi has been ripped apart. I mean, she could be anywhere from basically Sparks Road to Willow Tree.
So no trace found yet by the police?
No. And they've used cadaver dogs at different sites and things as well. So, you know, people have said things to me like, oh, you know, she could have been in a container and she could have been, you know, transferred overseas as a sex slave and all. I said, listen here, there is nothing that I haven't thought about that you can suggest to me. And they're things that a mother shouldn't have to think about her daughter. I get upset because, yeah, this is my daughter, but I need to get out that, you know, she's still missing.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Finally, after 10 years, the Wyong police have felt as though they had the brief of evidence together, and they've convinced the DPP, the New South Wales public prosecutor, and he, yep. he or she have agreed, and they've taken it yep. to trial. They've charged James Scott Church with the murder of your daughter, Liesl.
Yeah.
So it's gone to trial, finally. 68 days of evidence.
Actually, there was 70 days because for the first 2 days I wasn't allowed in because they were calling me for evidence, so I wasn't allowed in for the opening statements or things that went on at the beginning where they, oh, we want to throw this out and this has got to be put in and that's, we don't want this witness and we want that one and, you know, all that sort of juggling stuff.
Yeah, they're arguing about what can be admitted as evidence and stuff like yeah. that, right? And then is it, you're not allowed in as an observer until you've given your evidence, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Right. So you were one yeah. of the first to give evidence then, were you?
Yeah, yeah. It was hard because I really didn't know that much about her disappearance. They asked me a couple of questions that floored me a bit, and the judge asked me to leave the courtroom while she spoke to the defence, and when I came back, that line of questioning was squashed, and I think I only answered maybe 4 or 5 questions. That was it, because I didn't really know anything much.
Yeah.
As I said, I didn't even know she was missing until weeks later, so I couldn't really do so much. But I sat there with my pen and my writing pad and wrote everything down. Yeah, I was there every single day. And, you know, I heard some things. The police had put listening devices in his parents' house and they're saying, well, you know, what about this girl? Oh, look at her, you know, she's ugly as hat full of, you know, and
she absolutely was not.
You know, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've seen any pictures of her on.
I have, absolutely. She's a beautiful, stunning young woman, and, yeah, that's awful. And it's awful that you had to hear that. I'm assuming you had to hear that audio in court.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I was there for 68 days and heard every single word. I mean, she was no angel, and any parent who says, oh, my kids, you know, wouldn't do that or wouldn't say that or wouldn't be there or whatever. Mate, they've got blinkers on. They're looking through rose-coloured glasses because there's no perfect children.
There's no perfect people. I would hate for my – I mean, this is the thing for families who have to go through the court process is that I think to myself, God, I would hate for my life to be laid bare in a courtroom when I was gone and for my family to have to sit there and hear about every email I've sent, every text, every conversation yeah. I've had, everything I've – done everything. I mean, it's yeah. just hideous. It's this is our private lives. So, you know, you had to sit through, you didn't have to. Some people choose not to. Some people choose to leave at certain points because you have to hear the, as we've discussed, all sorts of awful things.
Yeah.
But you decided to stay.
I stayed. Yeah. Yeah, because I wanted to hear everything. I wanted to hear what the judge was hearing so that when she made her decision, As I said to a lot of people, because they said, oh, what if she says he's innocent? And I said, look, I've heard everything that she's heard. She's made sure she clarifies everything. So if she says he's innocent, then I have to go along with that and I have to be satisfied because there's nothing that I haven't heard that she hasn't heard.
Mm.
So I needed to hear it myself. Even through the court, the police were still coming in with other evidence that had suddenly turned up, you know, like there was a police car that drove basically the same route that he did. That was just coincidental, but he had his camera on and so they were able to time from point A to point B and then add it on to Jim Church's time and say, no, you couldn't possibly have gone into Wyong and dropped her off because even Andretti couldn't have,
yeah,
in his Formula One sports car, couldn't have done it, you know. So just stuff kept coming in even throughout the court case. So they didn't stop. Like people think, oh, it goes to court and that's the end of it. But in actual fact, it's not. They just kept bringing in more and more evidence as well.
Mm.
Just things that just happened. And I'm a bit of a spiritualist, so I tend to think that Liesl was pointing the finger and saying, look here, do this, do that. Judge Fullerton, I can't praise her enough. She was not only, oh, I suppose, an iron fist with a kid glove because she saw that Mr. Church Sr. wasn't well and asked him a few questions and he couldn't repeat them back. And he looked physically ill. And so she said, right, we're not doing him today. Get him on the train, send him home, and we'll do a video link next week.
Yeah.
You know, so as much as she is there for the facts and, you know, nothing else, emotion doesn't come into it, she cared about people. And there were people who my ex said was lethal, and those people actually came on screen and the judge spoke to them and it was proven that these people that were pointed out weren't lethal anyway. So, and that was another thing, you know, people were saying, oh, I remember seeing her on such and such. And my ex had actually put out a poster with a reward on it, which he was asked not to do, but he did anyway. It was a poster with like this big, the writing must have been 3 inches tall, $10,000, right, in big red thing. And this one lady, they said, oh, so you saw the poster? And she said, yes. And I recognised it was lethal straight away, you know, when I saw it at the shopping centre. And they said, oh, so you didn't see the $10,000 reward thing? And she said, oh, no, I didn't see that. I mean, it's the first thing that hits you in the face, you know. So everybody who said that they had seen her after the 19th were all proven that they hadn't seen her at all.
Yeah, I mean, that happens with missing persons, doesn't it? And I think a lot of the time people genuinely do believe they've seen the person.
Yeah.
Just our minds play tricks on us, our memories aren't as good as we think they are and all those things.
Oh, look, I remember I was at Dubbo one time sitting in Macca's and I was looking out the big windows that they had and this car pulled up with a horse trailer on the back and this girl got out of the car with her back to me with her hair poking through a cap and the fellow I was with at the time said, are you all right? And I just sat there because I would have sworn on my life that that was lethal. But then she turned around and had it have been lethal, there wouldn't have been a wheelchair or a walking stick that would have held me back. I'd have been out through that door so fast. And I've had several dreams similar to that as well, you know. And I say, am I dreaming? Am I dreaming? No, Mum, you're not dreaming. She's really here. She's really here. And I wake up, you know, my pillow's wet because I'm just crying. I mean, in my dream I'm crying for happiness, but I wake up and realise that it's not true after all.
You've sat through 68 days of evidence. And so explain exactly what happened. Had the judge then, because I know generally then they'll go away and have a think for a long time. Yep. Had that happened?
Yeah, she'd gone away and then we got notification that she was going to hand the judgment down.
Well, how long was the gap? Because you must be just on the you're just on the edge of your seat.
It was a couple of weeks. And because I had a daughter coming from Queensland and another daughter coming from Tasmania, they had asked the judge, instead of giving like 48 hours, if they could give a bit longer so that they could book flights and things and get here and, you know. And so the judge gave, I think she said it on the Monday and it was supposed to be delivered on the Friday. So that gave them time to get here. And then on the Thursday, he got himself in the car and passed a hose into his car and started the engine and that was the end of it.
A murder trial into the death of a Central Coast woman has ended without a verdict after the accused killer took his own life. 53-year-old James Scott Church had pleaded not guilty to murdering 23-year-old Liesl Smith. He was found dead a day before the verdict was due to be handed down.
I think he was declared dead at 9:30 or something in the morning, and the detectives rang me and told me. Actually, I can't remember if they rang me or they turned up to be good.
Isn't that amazing? You can't even remember if they turned up at your house or rang you.
And that's terrible.
No, it's not terrible. It's like, because it is so shocking. I'm not surprised.
I was just floored. And I was told basically they found him. It was reported to the police. The police rang the local detectives, and the detectives let me know. So it was within maybe an hour or a couple of hours after it happened that I was notified.
I was floored when I read it 6 months later, because this happened in July last year.
Yeah. 8th of July was supposed to be handed down.
10 years after Liesl went missing.
Yeah. It would have been 10 years on the 19th of August.
Mm. So last year. So I'm reading here, speaking on Friday, Justice, so this would have been the Friday that you got your verdict. Justice Fullerton acknowledged Liesl's family and friends, including you, Liesl's mother, Sandy, and she said, because of Mr. Church's death yesterday, which brought this trial to an end, I cannot announce my verdict today.
I was devastated. In the past, what the accused have done, they've either committed suicide at the beginning of a trial or in the middle of a trial, or they've passed away either by their own hand or accident or natural causes. Mm. So that's the end of the trial, the thing, because all the evidence isn't in. Mm. The judge hasn't made a decision, or the jury hasn't been sent off to make a decision. So that's the end of the case, and nothing can be done.
Yeah.
But this is the first time that the judge has said, I have a verdict and I'm going to hand it down. So between the time that she said, I'm going to hand the verdict down, and the day the verdict was to be announced, that's the very first time that anyone has passed away or killed themselves in that time frame.
It's fascinating. Because I just would assume that it wouldn't and shouldn't prevent her from delivering the verdict. But she says the law simply did not allow her to return a verdict, publicly announce it, or publish the very lengthy reasons that she had prepared for her verdict.
Yep.
I don't get it.
The thing is, to me, it's protecting the accused. I'm in no better position now than I was 11 years ago.
No.
I don't have Liesl, and I don't have someone who's responsible for taking her away from me. You know, we're in limbo. You know, he's not guilty and he's not innocent and she's still missing.
And also it means you've missed out on a potential encouragement for him to give you some further information, because in New South Wales you have the no body, no parole laws.
We do now, yeah.
Yeah, which means that, you know, potentially, had the judge been about to convict James Church of this crime, and had he gone to jail, he wouldn't have been able to take advantage of his minimum sentence until and unless he told you where Liesl's remains are, if indeed she is dead. So,
yeah,
you know, that was a possibility.
Yeah. I get angry too, because it's just not fair. Where's the justice for Liesl? You know, there's nothing for her. I mean, I think of when she first went missing and then they said that, you know, he's probably murdered her. All I could think of was her laying out there in the cold, not being able to, you know, contact anybody or, you know, have somebody who loves her holding her. And it's just, I mean, I worked in a nursing home for many years and we had lots of elderly people pass. But I tried to make sure that if they were going to pass, that they weren't on their own, that, you know, especially if it was the middle of the night, family members couldn't be there and all that sort of thing, you know, because I think it would be horrible. And that's what I think. You know, she's just out there on her own. It's just not right. It's just not right.
What have the detectives said, if anything, after all of that happened?
Oh, they're frustrated too. They will not ever give up, and they've told me that. I mean, they can't do anything about accusing anybody else because they have all the evidence that point in his direction. They're just hoping that somebody will come forward. I have a thing on the back of my car It's a poster of Liesl. And, you know, if anybody knows anything, contact them. And I have a Facebook page for her as well. Just if people would just go in there and like it and share it with their friends. Like if one friend shared it with two people and then those two people shared it with two people. I'm not asking them to go through their, you know, 500 friends and say, listen, you've got to share this. I'm just asking just to share it with one or two people. I've asked for a change and call it Liesl's Law so that Liesl will always be remembered, that I don't want another family to have to, if it ever happened again, it may never happen again. It's never happened in the past, but I don't want another family to be left wanting to know. It would just be nice to know where she is and what's happened to her. I mean, we may never, ever have any remains, but I just want to know what happened. What happened to her, that's all. The more people that know about Liesl, what's happened to Liesl, the more chance we've got of changing the law, of the possibility of somebody hearing something that they thought, oh, hang on a minute. Now I remember that name because it's an unusual name. It's not Jenny or Arthur or, you know, anything like that. And they go, oh, I remember hearing something about that. I wonder if I can remember what where I was when that happened. And, you know, and like the Crime Stoppers number, if people don't want to be made aware.
No, but it's good to remind people that you can always talk to Crime Stoppers anonymously. And you're right, just to remind people of all of those things. And as we just said, just come forward and just tell them that little thing that you might have thought over the years, no, they wouldn't be interested in. Just tell them.
Yeah. To me, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. And if you don't have all the pieces, then you can't solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
And you never know. That little tidbit of information that you have may just, that's another piece of the puzzle that's put in. And, you know, the police would rather that you ring up and say something then think, oh, well, that's not very significant or that's not important, or what you don't think is important could be a major thing, you know, for the police to be able to deal with. So, yeah, I just, she's worth it.
Well, she is.
she's really worth it, you know. And the other thing I ask people to do is after they've heard the podcast, just go and give your kids an extra hug from Liesl. It's, you know, not a big thing and the kids will never know. And if you just, you know, just give them a hug and just think of Liesl. I don't think people really understand, like, I lost my dad, and my dad was my best mate, and I miss him. I miss him too, especially with Liesl missing. I'd just like to get on the phone and say, hey, Dad, I'm feeling like crap today, you know. But I know where he is. You know, he died of cancer, so he's in a better place. But it's really hard. I mean, I have a friend who said, you know, I used to watch the things on TV and go, oh, that's sad, that person's missing. But when you actually know someone who has someone missing, it's a whole different ball game, a whole different ball game.
Thank you to our guest today, Sandy Harvey, and thank you for downloading this episode of Australian True Crime. We'll be back next week.
This has been another Smart Fella production in conjunction with the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Australian True Crime. The live show is coming.